I'm Ivory and I'm an addict.
Hi, Ivory.
This mic's freaking me out slightly, so bear with me. I've been sober and clean for 19 months yesterday. And I think I kind of gauge my recovery by how I behave on public transport. And and so yesterday I tend to cart around. I'm a painter, so I carry big canvases around. And I got on the DLR and I accidentally really barged into this woman's knee. And I just said, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm really, really sorry. And she looked at me, gave me a really filthy look and just kind of, you know, tuttered and looked away. So I sat down and I just stared at her and gave her a really filthy look because of course, I wanted her to be like, oh, that's okay, darling, you know, don't worry about it. And I wanted her to comfort me. I'd hurt her and I wanted comfort from her. And when I came to recovery, that's pretty much... That was my temperament. The difference yesterday was that I sat down, gave her a filthy look for about 30 seconds, and then suddenly thought, you know, she doesn't owe me anything. I don't know what day she's had, and recovery's kind of given me another... It's given me another thought pattern that I didn't have. I came into the rooms, and I had a jacket on, I put my hood up, I sat at the back, and I was in real pain. I tried control using for 10 years. I'd gone to great lengths in my eyes. I tried everything. I'd done a geographical. I'd done pretty much what maybe a lot of us had done, and nothing worked. You know, I did a yoga teacher training course. I got my football coach in level one. While I was doing whatever I was doing, it was quite intense, and I'd go at it, but as soon as I finish, I just end up a lot angrier and a lot deeper, to a point that I ended up in a squat in Dalston, in a great big K-hole, and just really, really quite miserable and desperate. So I came in the rooms and I saw a lot of quite sort of pretty, happy, bubbly people, and I just thought, fuck this. You know, I just sat there just going, you know, you haven't been through what I've been through. You can't know how hard it's been for me, and you know, you've obviously not used enough, you've obviously not had it as shit as I have. And I was so desperate when I came in. You know, I got told to do 1990, I got told to get a sponsor, I got told to do the steps, and I didn't do it because I'm abiding. I did it because I just couldn't do anything else. I tried it my way, I tried my will. I didn't like the God business. I'm a Hindu, so I was told from a young age to pray to elephants and monkeys, and you know, I didn't think that was too... I didn't get it. And then I got sent to a convent and I was told that God thought I was a little cow. So, you know, I just really had a problem with the God word when I came in. And then someone said, well, you know, if you don't like the God that you've had so far, sack him and get a new one. And I loved that. And I always hear that in the rooms. And so I did. I sacked all the Hindu gods and goddesses, and I sacked the Catholic God, and I sacked every God, and I just wanted a God that was kind, that was loving, that was just something that didn't make me feel like a piece of shit, because that's what I felt like when I came in. Powerlessness, totally powerless. The first few months, I thought, oh, I'm in now, you know, this is all right. Relapse. Insanity, yeah. You know, that cliche, doing something again and again, expecting something different from the same actions. So, my first sponsor that I got was just a, you know, lovely woman that just said, you know, do what you want. So I did, and just got fucked the whole time. So I got another sponsor that basically gave quite a hard talk, but she just seemed to have a lot of conviction in the program, and she seemed to be really comfortable in her own skin. So I worked with her. First 6 months were horrible. You know, I just walked around like I'd been... I was sort of chewing vinegar sticks. I just sour look on my face, really angry, really, really, really annoyed that I was here. And I did the steps, I worked the steps. Handing over my will, I have to hand it over on a daily basis. It doesn't my will's difficult. When I do things my way, you know, I shared this last night, because I think I'm so good and I think that I'm so super, I can't have any allergies, can I? And recently, when I've been having bags of mixed nuts, my throat's really itchy and my lips start itching. So I've spent the whole week wheedling through each different nut to try and figure out which nut is making me allergic. So I can say I'm not allergic to nuts, it's just that particular nut. Now, I told my dad and he said I wasn't nut. You know, it's just kind of, this is the thing, this is my will. Whereas at the end of the day, if this is my worst problem today, that I've got to find out which nut I'm allergic to, as opposed to, I couldn't look people in the eye when I come in this programme. No, I had a rotten relationship with my family. I attracted blokes that looked like Grant Mitchell and just, you know, just wanted to have it in East London with anything that looked at them the wrong way. It was just a scary kind of a scary kind of thing that I wanted in my life. And today, it's interesting. I still go to quite a good meeting in Aldgate East, and one of the blokes there, I hadn't been in a few months, and I came in and he just went, "Oh my God, you look so peaceful." You know, he goes up, "You look terrified." I was terrified of you when you came. This is a big bloke. You know, I'm 5'2". And he just said, "Your face has completely changed." The first year of recovery was really difficult, but I had to do things that I didn't want to do. I had to phone people. I don't want to phone no one. I don't want to tell anybody that I'm feeling horrible, I'm feeling not enough. That was my problem. It still is my problem. I'm not enough. He's better, she's better, she's faster. I do that thing, I'm sure I've told a couple of people, I race people on the underground. I don't know where they're going. You know, I'm supposed to be going on the Northern Line, I end up on the Victoria Line because I'm racing people. I don't, why, what's that about? Why do I have to be faster than you? She's insane. So I have to constantly say to something that isn't as crazy as me, that runs the show, that makes me keep coming to these rooms and, you know, on a Friday night, keeps me, I can laugh at myself today. And I have to keep asking that spirit, that power, that love, stop me from being so bonkers. You know, I've got to hand it over. A lot of my amends are ongoing, because when I use, I just, you know, I'm an arsehole. I just turn into a really nasty person. I don't like who I am. There's addiction in my family. And I've seen what it does on a long-term basis. I feel, you know, quite grateful, really, that I'm very grateful to be asked to do this. I remember coming to this meeting really early on and thinking, oh yeah, if I ever do this, then I'll do my hair and I'll like be wearing this. And like, you know, just funny things. But what I'm really chuffed about being here is that I can hear my own voice and I like how it sounds. Whereas I just used to chat a load of shit, you know? Used to just get wasted and just talk and talk and talk at you. Didn't talk with you. I didn't want to listen. I was not interested. Just had to prove something all the time. And today I've still got to prove something. But it's not as intense. It doesn't feel so desperate. I find the meditation difficult. One of my control things was go to an ashram in India for 3 months. Do 6 hours of meditation a day. I came back via Thailand and you can imagine what happened. It wasn't very pretty. So today I have to say, oh, I'll do 10 minutes a day rather than this, you know, it's extremes for me. I can't, before I come here I had a double shot latte and now I'm drinking a chamomile tea. It's, you know, I have to work, I have to practice every day to get some kind of equilibrium, some kind of balance. And the rooms and the friendship, picking up the phone, and my ongoing amends, they help me. I don't like doing it, truth be told. But if I do it, it's easier. Today, I'm doing the job that I want to be doing. I'm self-employed. I have a wicked relationship with my family. My mum spent 2 hours with me the other day, telling me that this painting that I was doing, that the eyes were wrong. and that they should be like this. And she was, you know, she was sort of like coaching me. My mum's always hated the fact that I'm a painter. She wanted me to be a doctor and an accountant. And the fact that she sat with me for 2 hours, that's a miracle. That's nothing short of a miracle. I've got friends. I actually know what they're interested in. Don't have to compete with them to tell them what they should be doing, how they should be looking, what they should be providing for me, what they should be giving for me. So I got off the DLR yesterday, and I looked at the woman, and I didn't need to. Oh God, you know, a year and a half ago, I would have said to her, you know, I would have given her a lecture on what it was like, you know, what it would be like to how to receive an apology gracefully. that you know, I would have really like badgered on her and told her that. And I just basically got off the DLR and I just thought, just be a bit more careful, Mitherly, how you carry the cat. It's rush hour, fuck's sake. Yeah, just check yourself. And that's what this program gives me. You don't need sorting out. It's me. And I'm being sorted out, so I'm really grateful. So thanks for that. Yeah.